Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Monday, August 23rd, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Audible.com. Download a free audiobook of your choice at audiblepodcast.com/TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
And behind the board is our excellent producer, Eric Lanigan.
Hey, guys, how are you? I'm good.
Also joining us today in the place of vacationing, what was his name? The guy from Hack 5?
Oh, yeah. Darren Living Room.
Yeah, Darren. I mean, you know.
Some kitchen kid?
He decided not to show up.
I totally forgot.
No. Darren had to, he's got to do Hack 5, actually. He's running behind. He's working hard. But thankfully, Ayaz Akhtar is here.
Yay.
To help us out.
Not only Ayaz, but his really cool fireplace.
Yes, this is my living room where I have the fireplace of doom.
The fireside yes. chat with Ayaz.
Yes, which inspires me to write at MobyPewding.com.
Tell us about MobyPewding.com real quick before we get into the stories. What's the deal with that?
The site covers a lot of mobile technology. So it's like mobile computing, MobyPewding, you get it? Okay, good. So what we cover is a lot of things like iOS, Android, Blackberries. If it's like a mobile computing platform, we're covering it.
All right. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange went through a brief controversy over the weekend. He was charged, I believe, on Saturday he was accused of rape. And then I saw the story on Saturday morning. Within a couple hours, the charges had been dropped. Now, we got an email from a guy who's actually in Sweden. His name is Bjorn Olaf. Bjorn Olaf B. said, gave me a long email with sort of the background of what's been going on as it has been reported in the Swedish newspapers. And what it sounds like is that Assange came to Sweden for a talk. He met a woman in her 20s. They got together, went to a movie. During the weekend, another woman who had been part of the group that had invited him over and is a Christian feminist, HBT activist, and former part-time tabloid journalist teamed up with this 20-year-old, and they determined that something had gone wrong on the date. A rule had been broken or something, and so they called the police for advice. Well, it turns out in these matters in Sweden, when the police are called with this sort of advice, that they have to report it to a prosecutor. They did. The prosecutor issued an arrest warrant, which is the protocol in those situations when you have no more information. The next day, a senior prosecutor came in, reviewed the case, said, wait a minute, this doesn't call for an arrest, and rescinded the arrest based on new information. So that's all based on newspaper reports and a little bit of context given by Bjorn. And thanks to Bjorn for sending that in. But what we don't know is, did they know that this would happen,
right,
and kind of tar and feather Julian's name, or was this just a, you know?
Because he says that's exactly what's going on, is that even if charges were dropped, then, of course, a lot of people have it in their head, oh, there was some rape charge, he's not credible, or he's certainly less credible, because he's still got these documents that he's threatening to release that are supposedly, you know, it can look really bad for a variety of people. What's weird, the Swedish law about this thing is strange because you go to the cops for advice. I mean,
well,
don't the cops
I don't think
say,
it was the
like,
law that they had to go to the cops, and that's the first part of the story that's a little weird.
Right.
Like, why would you go to the police first? Is there no sort of organization like a rape hotline or anything that you would go as an intermediary to
right.
seek advice before you go right to the police?
Well, yeah, because what if if the police is giving you advice, you go, this happened, and they go, well, that's rape. And you go, I'm just going to hang up anyway. Then they're in a weird place.
It reminded me of sensitivity training in corporate situations where they say, as a supervisor, if someone tells you about some kind of sexual harassment, it's your duty to report it up the chain. Mm-hmm. So going to the police is sort of like that. If there's anything that even seems like it could be controversial,
then how could they just be like, yeah, well, up to you.
They have to pass it along to the prosecutor. Prosecutor says, look, I'm going to issue an arrest because I don't really know what happened, and we need to find out. The next day, the more senior prosecutor comes in, looks at more of the information, maybe makes a couple calls, and says, you know what, this is, nobody wants to press charges here. This is obviously doesn't call for an arrest. But because it's an Assange, because it's an Assange, because it's the Assange.
An assault on Assange.
Because it's the Julian Assange, it comes off as sounding like, right. There could be some sort of conspiracy here.
Yes. The timing of it is, it's too perfect. Not that it's not true. It's just suspect.
These two people, as described by Bjorn in his email, don't sound like the kind of people the Pentagon would use to get back at Julian Assange. But I guess if you're good at the Pentagon, then that's who you'd hire. I don't know. You start thinking like thriller novels.
This would be a very roundabout way of getting back at somebody. That's for sure. A lot of thought went into this. If this is indeed something that originated from within the Pentagon.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we have another issue with the police going on down in India. Hari Prasad, managing director of Net India LTD, had his home raided on Saturday morning at 5:30 because he has an electronic voting machine that he has shown is insecure and could have caused elections to be tampered with in the past in India.
And what's kind of strange is that the Election Commission Bureau of India actually challenged this guy to say that these machines have flaws. And the weird thing is they wouldn't allow him to actually have one of these machines. So.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Yes.
Some unofficial means to get it. And it's kind of odd that he's being arrested for such a thing.
You got your camera froze right in the middle of that sentence. But what you were saying, what we heard you say was that it was odd that he had been challenged to figure out what the flaw in the voting machine was, but they wouldn't allow him to have a voting machine, right?
That's what I was trying to say, and then my Skype is deciding to kill me.
Well, you look good now.
Well, thank you.
So he got a voting machine through a third party, and
the voting machine black market.
Then and then he demonstrated that it was insecure.
Your first flaw, actually. If you can obtain a voting machine just by asking
for
one, that's a problem.
Police did not state a specific charge at the time of the arrest, but it appears to be politically motivated. The arresting officers told Hari that they were under pressure from the top and that he would be left alone if he would just reveal the source's identity. So they're not trying to stop him from publishing the information. It sounds like they're trying to punish the person who got him the voting machine in the first place.
Well, also, the voting machines don't work. That's a really big problem.
Yeah, I think you would be more concerned with that than trying to cover up betrayal of who led to the discovery that they don't work.
You're right. I mean, are these voting machines going to be used down the road in the next election? If so, probably a lot of corruption possibilities.
Yeah.
Fix your machines. Hanging chads. Whatever it is.
Hang the chads. HP is causing a ruckus with Dell over a bid to acquire 3PAR. 3PAR is a virtualized storage array company. They do basically cloud storage. HP already has its own virtualized products with converged infrastructure data center, but Dell had all but bought 3PAR, and this was going to be a big deal for Dell, their move into cloud storage, being able to allow cloud storage as an integrated offering with their enterprise product. And HP has come in and offered $6 more a share for 3PAR at the last minute. Dell had offered $18 a share. Now HP is offering $24 a share. Dirty.
But is it like, I mean, are they all in the 11th hour going, crunching numbers and going, I think we can do this. I think we can go up $6. Let's do it. Okay, we're going. You know, I'd love to know how this all gets decided behind the scenes.
Yeah, and this morning, 3PAR shares went way up, so it sounds like people believe that they're going to get the bid from HP, or at least Dell will try to match it. It's more of a financial story, but it's interesting that cloud computing has become the girl that everyone's fighting over. You know, it's like, $18, screw you, I'll give $24.
I'm very curious to see what HP would do with something like this. I mean, Dell would probably use it in the enterprise, but HP sometimes puts stuff in the enterprise, and maybe because they actually have the web OS, they could somehow marry this to their cloud storage. I mean, if you have an operating system that's based on web standards, why not allow your app market to actually access these storage options if they bought 3PAR? So I'm kind of curious to see what kind of consumer stuff HP would do, because Dell, if they get it, I mean, only businesses are going to use it, so I don't think that's too exciting.
All right, let's take a break and thank our sponsor, Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, even magazines. They have periodicals in there. I was listening to The Moon is a Harsh Mistress as I rode in today. That's our sword and laser pick. It's a great book to listen to because it's written in a kind of futuristic Russian accent.
Yeah.
Which some people find hard to read. But when it's spoken and the guy is just talking like this,
right?
It's perfect.
It's almost like it's the imagination part of the book that can be tedious. Someone just doing it for you.
Yeah, that whole imagining thing.
Well, when it comes to accents that you don't know how to do
I totally agree with you. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because every once in a while I'll say something out loud. You know, you're reading a book and you know that there's it takes place in England or something. And I'll say something out loud trying to imagine how that they were saying it. And I'm butchering the whole thing and I know it.
Yeah, but when you get a really good narrator, it really helps your imagination more than anything.
Absolutely.
Listeners of Tech News Today can get a free audiobook. Give you a chance to try out their service. One audiobook you might consider if you Moon is a Harsh Mistress is a good one, but I recommend Demon by Daniel Suarez. Demon or Freedom TM, the sequel, if you've already read Demon, narrated by Jeff Gerner. It's a fantastic tale of botnets taking over the world. That's oversimplifying it. It's much better than that, but a computer genius takes over the world after he passes away. So if you haven't tried it out, now's your chance to get it for free. Go to audiblepodcast.com/TNT and download it. Try out Audible, try out audiobooks, and try out Demon. That's audiblepodcast.com/TNT. Very excited today that Intel is releasing their first mobile dual-core Atom processor. It's not their first dual-core Atom processor, but it's the first one meant for netbooks, right, IS?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with this, it's based on the Pine Trail platform, and I've been covering this for a pretty long time, so I thought it was out a long time ago. But what this really means is we're going to have more efficient processors in netbooks. And so the cheap netbooks are going to have really cool dual-core processors, so you're going to get better battery life and better performance. I think according to Extreme Tech, some companies are claiming a 20% improvement in performance. And so that's pretty impressive for, you know, a little cheap piece of hardware.
Yeah, and this, you know, I mean, just throwing cores at something is now starting to become like gigahertz where, you know, okay, if it's got 8 cores, 12 cores, what does it matter to me as just an average consumer user? But I think a dual core on a netbook can still make a big difference. Don't you think?
Sorry, the Skype just froze on me again.
I said dual core on a netbook still makes a big difference. No, I'm just saying, like, a lot of times adding more cores doesn't really do a whole lot. But if you've got dual core...
If the software can really take advantage of multiple cores, that's when it's really interesting. Hopefully, we'll see some Linux distributions that take advantage of this.
Yeah, I hope so, too. The N550 is the first dual core Atom, as I has mentioned, based on the Pine Trail platform. Runs on 2 physical cores, totaling 4 threads, twice the amount of L2 cache, and it's going to have the same graphic chipset as the single core N455. So... keep an eye out for those netbooks. I think the, we don't have any idea which ones are going to have them first. The Asus EPC 1201N actually had a dual core in it, but it was a variant of the Atom D330. It wasn't actually meant for a netbook. It didn't have the power efficiency that you need. That's what's nice about this is it's going to be a lot easier on your battery than other dual cores would have been. A potential deal between Apple and Verizon? First I've heard of it.
What would they be doing?
Sha-Wu, I love a good prediction from analyst Sha-Wu with Kaufman Brothers, issued a note to investors on Monday, which he said expects Apple to expand the iPhone to another carrier in the U.S. next year. But what's interesting is he only said Verizon is the front runner. His note says that they're in talks, but the talks haven't succeeded yet. Wu believes that the iPhone will eventually come to Verizon, but that could happen as late as 2012. And he said Apple might decide to go another route in 2011 and put the iPhone out on T-Mobile and Sprint.
Because collectively, they have roughly the same amount of subscribers that Verizon has independently. Yeah. So, I don't know.
They can't work out a deal with Verizon.
But then there's the whole, a lot of Android users using Verizon. If Apple wants to tap into that market, then Verizon would be a good place to go sooner rather than later. So, I don't know. What do you do?
I still think you don't roll out a CDMA phone, Sprint or Verizon, at all. You wait until LTE has got some market penetration, and that's when you jump on that side of things. You don't. I mean, I don't know. Making a CDMA phone at this point seems pointless.
Yeah, because one of the problems with CDMA is you can't do data and voice at the same time. So Apple would have to have a special system with Verizon for this to even work, so you can run an app and actually take a phone call at the same time. So it does make sense for Apple to wait around. But then again, this story has been around. It seems like it gets regurgitated every 3 months. We keep seeing this story. The Verizon iPhone to me is the wolf. Somebody keeps crying this all the time. Eventually, somebody's going to be right. Okay, I'm going to have it like maybe like we'll have a pool. The next time I'm on, we'll set up a pool and determine when is this really going to happen. Probably LTE, probably next year.
This is actually the first analyst prediction, and funny that it would come from Sha Wu, who's known for some pretty over the top predictions. This is the first one that seems reasonable. That yeah, said, Verizon and Apple are talking and they're not agreeing. Said, and Curtis B pointed out in the chat room, Verizon and Apple had a talk before the first iPhone came out and couldn't agree on pricing. That's why they ended up with AT&T. So this all strikes me as being perfectly plausible.
Plausible, yes. This is like Mythbusters. Plausible, but not likely. Not yet.
Well, I think they could, you know, they could be making negotiations right now for 2012 release. I mean, they could be just trying to get their ducks in a row. Also, Kevin Rose over on his blog says that he has some sources telling him that Apple's iTV is coming out in September. It's going to be $99. The iPad will be its remote control. It'll have Mobile Me picture and video sharing, a la carte radio or TV stations via apps, because it will run iOS and have TV applications. Heard a lot of these things before, but Kevin's, I don't know, he's got a over 50% record on these leaks.
Yeah, I don't know. It's he's pretty good about predicting things that end up being true. And he definitely went out of his way to make sure a lot of people read this article.
Yeah, because he's not saying anything that hasn't been rumored before.
Right. I don't know. I hope it's true.
I would like to try this out too.
I still wonder if anyone's actually going to buy a set-top box. I mean, Apple's tried the Apple TV. That didn't do too well. Mostly people get, they're usually quite, well, I guess, satisfied with their rented box that they get from their cable companies. I don't know what Apple would have to do for people to go, you know what, I'm going to go out, I'm going to buy this device, I'm actually going to hook it up to my television. I mean, apart from actually building it into a TV, I don't know if people are just going to go out and run out to buy a set-top box. I mean, even if it's small and it can do all these things, just because it's really cool doesn't mean it'll succeed. I mean, the Roku's a really cool box, but like the only people I know who have it are extremely nerdy, like me. So I don't know if this is going to be a mainstream kind of thing yet. I would like it to succeed, but meh.
It's not going to be mainstream, but it could have the Apple juice behind it in a way that the Apple TV didn't, because it has that iOS platform, because it's got apps, if it's integrated with the iPad. If all of that turned out to be true, it could be a much bigger success than the Apple TV was when they first put it out.
Do you think there's a possibility that people are going to try to touch their TVs now because they're so used to the touchscreen interface of iOS?
I just got a new laptop and I'd done that 10 times already.
I don't think you'll touch your TV because it's too far away. Right. You don't have to get up off the couch.
I think somebody's going to try it.
You shouldn't be watching TV that close to the screen, dude.
Oh.
Go sit on your couch. Get off the floor.
Thanks for the life lesson.
Yeah. That's why that's why you're wearing glasses.
But I have done that a few times. I've touched my laptop, like ready to scroll. No. Hey. Ah.
I definitely do that with
right.
Kindles.
Not iOS. Yes. I can't use a Kindle because
I mean I don't anymore, but I have done that.
Right. Yeah. I've already jumped into the next touch screen world. Kindles are hard for me.
No going back.
Not for me.
UK ISP Demon Internet has set up direct networks with gaming companies to boost speeds, as promising lower latency and higher usage cap than standard packages. So if you're in the UK and you're on Demon Internet, you can sign up for a broadband package for gamers that will prioritize your game traffic with certain game companies to give you an edge over rival players.
So this is not just paying for more bandwidth. This is paying for
prioritization.
Priority access. Isn't that the whole against net neutrality situation?
Oh, yeah. This
here?
Is exactly what net neutrality prohibits, which is you striking deals with particular companies to deliver their packets over other packets. Not every bit is equal now on Demon Internet for an extra £3 a month.
I think a lot of gamers are going to have their brains blow up because they're like, okay, net neutrality, good, but low latency better, and they're going to think what's the real way to go, because I mean if there's an optimized network out there that's going to allow you to play a much better game and you're not having weird dropout connections like I'm having, it would be kind of a neat idea. But then again, you're worried that later on you won't be able to access everything else. So I personally am having a hard time resolving these two, like net neutrality idea versus an optimized network, because it sounds kind of cool.
Now, they did it in an interesting way. With the game companies, they're not actually prioritizing packets to and from the game company. They have peering relationships. So it's a little more complicated than just speeding things along. They're also putting in a 100 gigabyte cap a month, only between 8 a.m. and 11 p.m. If you're playing after 11 p.m., you can send all the data you want. Demon says that's double the top usage needed, according to the gaming companies they're working for. But you know somebody's going to go over that cap somehow.
Yeah, but at that point, they're too tired to complain.
Yeah, but they're paying extra. They're saying, look, I paid for your extra £3 for the gaming broadband, and now you're cutting me off? It was so great, I wanted to play games.
100 gigabyte cap.
You have to play within your window.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but then there's going to be a big big to do over. This is the problem with violating net neutrality, is that, you know, you're playing into the hands of the ISP, actually controls the internet, and you get cut off. And this could turn out to be one of those precedent setting cases.
I was going to say, it sounds like this is the first of many specific situations where ISPs are trying things out and people get up in arms and nobody quite knows what the right answer is, because some people win and a lot of people don't.
Yeah. All right. Now, I've only seen this on TechCrunch today, and I've been hoping somebody else would dig into it to let us know if there's more to it than what TechCrunch is able to report. But a search of public status updates on Facebook uncovers several people today complaining that their iTunes accounts that were connected to PayPal have been drained, that people use their PayPal accounts to buy tons of apps from iTunes and pretty much emptied their account. One account says they were charged over $4,700. Another account bought over $500 worth of music using the PayPal account. Somebody just says they got hacked for $1,000. So it's anecdotal evidence right now, but it seems to be a lot of it.
Seems to be a lot of it. And what's weird is that but when I was digesting this information earlier, I wasn't really clear on what the hack was.
Well, yeah, that's what
I have. Is PayPal connected to iTunes? And then people are saying, well, it's an iTunes issue, obviously, not a PayPal issue. But what is the issue? I don't have those two services connected, so I wasn't too worried about it on a personal level. But what's going on?
Well, yeah, you would jump to the conclusion that this is an iTunes issue because you hack into iTunes and the PayPal account's just linked. But why is it only iTunes accounts linked to PayPal? Why isn't it other iTunes accounts?
Exactly.
Is there some information that gets leaked to PayPal that people are able to get a hold of that then allows them to get into the iTunes accounts? It's like similar passwords or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Why aren't people talking about it? Is anyone out there getting hacked?
Yeah,
you should check here.
If you have a story about this. Swale says 9to5 Mac has a report on it as well. Are they doing any more than just pointing to a report by TechCrunch? No, it doesn't look like they did anything on their own. See, I have found other blogs talking about the TechCrunch story, but nobody doing any other reporting on top of
that. There is a comment from somebody saying this was a phishing scam. These people revealed info via fake iTunes email.
There we go.
There's your problem.
And it would be hey, your PayPal account has been hacked. Sign in here.
So if that's the case, then it's one of those, unfortunately, dude, you got fooled. You should just read emails more closely and look for misspellings or whatever. I don't know. I don't know why people keep falling for this stuff.
Yeah, so it's another phishing scam. That's what it looks like. There's an article on Daring Fireball about this too, and All Things D as well, saying that they. The real vulnerability. What is it? The real vulnerability is gullible users. So not a security problem in iTunes, not a security problem in PayPal. But what you should know is that if you get an email, if your iTunes account is linked to PayPal and you get an email about your iTunes account or PayPal, be wary of it. Don't fall for these things.
Just none of those. Never do that. Just go straight to the source. If there's any account issues, not the way that they're going to get a hold of you.
We fell for the idea that North Korea was on Twitter.
Who is we, Tom?
We being me and everyone else in the on the internet except for Forbes, who were the only folks that had the audacity to call the Democratic People's Republic of Korea and ask, hey, so what's the deal with your Twitter and your YouTube and your Facebook stuff?
And North Korea said, you know what? You're the first publication in the whole world that's asked. And no, that's not us.
Yeah. Any kind of IT-based communications is interesting for the DPRK, said a special delegate for North Korea's Committee for Cultural Relations with Foreign Countries. But don't be fooled. Such websites will never be run by our government directly.
What was the other situation? This was a recent story, something in the last month where it was the same thing where somebody finally asked the source and the source said no. And you're the first person who's asked this whole time. I don't remember what the story was, but I just feel like this is just sloppy. I don't know. I mean, we're all just assuming the other people have done their research and then stories get out of control.
I like this response as well, because they Forbes asked the official by email what they thought of the press fallout. We think that there is plenty of misinformation, speculation, and sensationalism regarding the reality of North Korea. This is the hypocrisy of a society that calls itself democratic, but is in reality fearful of the ideological power and influence from our side.
Except yeah.
We're not, because you're not even on Twitter, so right, your ideology actually, isn't reaching us.
You're not using social media.
We were kind of excited that you were,
right?
But you're not. And also you said, we do not permit the Korean Central News Agency on Twitter at all.
You know who else isn't on Facebook?
Mark Zuckerberg?
I was going to say Leo Laporte.
Oh, yes. But he is now. He's back.
He is?
Yeah, because he wanted to try out Facebook Places.
I go to bed for 8 hours and I wake up, it's a whole different world.
No, this was before he said he's not doing social networking anymore.
Oh, my gosh. I've been denying someone named Leo Laporte because I'm like,
that's actually
oh, my God. That is hysterical. Well, yeah. Now he's just screwing with me.
He went back on because he wanted to try Facebook Places, but then over the weekend he had
poor
the
Leo.
Google Buzz
I even
problem.
Wrote kind of a rude message last time. I'm like, you're not Leo Laporte. He doesn't use Facebook. Stop trying to add
me. You should find out if he got that. That's hilarious.
I'm sure he did.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is a fake Leo, but I know he said that he's back on Facebook.
Well, I'll have to ask him.
All right. Let's move on, though, to the news fuse. Sprint is giving free femtocells to customers who have specific in-building coverage issues. Verizon and AT&T make their customers pay for the equipment and for service for a femtocell. A femtocell is something that allows you to make calls over your own in-home internet connection.
Put on your poker faces, everyone, because Lady Gaga has just passed Britney Spears as the most followed person on Twitter with 5,735,554 followers. But both ladies should watch their backs as Justin Bieber threatens to pass both of them.
Stephanie Germanotta is Lady Gaga's real name.
No.
I still don't know what a Justin Bieber is, but I do know that Motorola sent a cease and desist notice to several websites that were hosting a version of Android 2.2 for the Motorola Droid X. Droid X is that giant 4.3 dinner plate of a phone. Motorola claims that the files contained copyrighted software in addition to the open source Android software. So there's some kind of weirdness between the copyright and open source. So let's see what happens there.
DishOnline.com has come out of beta, allowing Dish subscribers to stream at least 15 channels of television live over the internet. According to Engadget, the selection includes all the major networks and extra channels like Sci-Fi and Comedy Central.
California is considering a bill that would expand laws against forgery and impersonation to include impersonating someone online. The bill outlaws credible impersonations done for purposes of harming, intimidating, threatening, or defrauding another person. So Fake Steve Jobs. Harmful? Not harmful. Are you impersonating me?
No, not very well. Not very credibly and not maliciously.
I'm going to call my lawyer after the show.
Researchers in South... I'm sorry, it's Ayaz's story.
It is, thanks. According to a study out of Chung-Ang University in Korea, an antidepressant called bupropion. Yes, exactly. Thanks for giving me that one. Also marketed as Wellbutrin, can ease the video game addiction in a country riddled by StarCraft mania. By the way, I've never played StarCraft. Video game addiction is a real problem in Korea. Bupropion, I still can't say it, is used to treat other addictions like smoking. So apparently video game addiction can be as bad as smoking. That's kind of depressing. I think I need an antidepressant.
In Korea. But if you if you take the Wellbutrin and you get off the stuff and you stop playing StarCraft, you might invent really fast routers. Researchers in South Korea have built a networking router that transmits data at nearly 40 gigabytes per second.
40 gigabytes per second.
The developed software called Packet Shader that uses a computer's graphic processing unit, the GPU, helps process packets of data sent across a network with software instead of needing all that pesky hardware.
Valve's Doug Lombardi, the marketing VP of Valve Corp, crushed the hopes and dreams of Linux users everywhere when he said in an interview that Valve has no plans to make a version of Steam for the Linux platform. Not yet, anyway.
Yet. There's still a chance. So you're saying,
there's a chance.
So if you guys
there's a chance
that if there's a Halo game, it's going to get leaked. Halo Reach, the next edition of Halo, has already been leaked on the internet for free at the Pirate Bay, if you feel like going to get it. The official release date is going to be, I think, later next month. Is that right?
3 weeks from now, yeah.
3 weeks from now, and Microsoft is not happy about this.
I consider this a sign that humanity is okay. The time is progressing well. The Swallows return to Capistrano. A Halo game is leaked before it's officially released. This means that all is well with the world.
Rest easy, everyone.
We're
going to be okay.
We also should be excited that we have a new text messaging record thanks to Melissa Thompson, 27, of Great Britain, wrote, and I quote, "The razor tooth piranhas of the genre Serrasalmus and Pygocentris are the most ferocious freshwater fish in the world. In reality, they seldom attack a human." She wrote that in 25.94 seconds.
Now, you said it a lot quicker than that. How fast is she?
Seriously,
really?
What's up, Melissa?
The heck! Probably do that in 16 seconds.
To text. her record is not yet certified by the Guinness World Record organization. That record is currently held by American Franklin Page, 24, who wrote the same passage in 35.54 seconds in March of this year.
Well, so she really showed him up by a good 10 seconds.
Yeah, apparently she wasn't even like into it. This was a traveling demonstration, and they just walked up. They're like, "Hey, why don't you try? Here's a Galaxy S.
You win.
Writing the sentence." She's like, "All right, it's been a while since I texted."
Wow.
World record.
I don't know. These kinds of things bother me. They're stupid records.
Do you think
fastest text message?
Because she was using swipe on the Galaxy S, that's like a performance enhancer.
Was she?
Yeah, it was a Galaxy S, so she was using swipe.
Yeah. Hey, we all need to be using the same phone, okay?
Uh-huh.
This whole world record thing is tainted. Throwing this story out with the bathwater.
Yes, and the baby. There it goes.
Yep. Let's go on to our calendar, shall we?
Let's do.
Sony's all-new Alpha DSLR launch event is tomorrow. That's Tuesday, August 24th. The Kindle 3 begins shipping this Friday. That's very exciting for all you Kindle users.
Woohoo!
And Twit will be at Dragon Con. The meetup is scheduled for Saturday night, September 4th, which will include Tom.
Yes, and Brian Brushwood.
And Brian Brushwood.
And Lisa, our CEO.
And Lisa Kensel.
And Veronica Belmont.
And Veronica It's going to be such a fun party.
Yeah, so come to Atlanta.
Okay.
September 4th at the Sundial Restaurant. You can check it out at sundialrestaurant.com.
Nice.
On to our voicemails, which our first one is actually video mail. We talked last week about the patent Sony had filed on controlling a PSP from the back. We worried about dropping it. Dr. Mom in the chat room was saying, hey, there's something like this for, I can't remember if it was crocheting, I think, that you could use. Well, she was nice enough to actually shoot a video to demonstrate it. The thumb crotch hold.
TNT team, this is Dr. Mom from the chat with a small demonstration of the thumb crotch hold. As you see, I have in my hand a needlework frame. And I'm just holding it like this. And there you go. Fingers on the back, thumbs on the front. Easy as pie, doesn't fall. You can hold it nice and tight. If you doubt that you can do this on a video game, here's my son's DS. The lid down. Same thing. See, hold it like that. Hold it like that. I realize it may be hard for you young whippersnappers to get to hold the item properly, but once you get to be an old gray-haired lady like me, it's easy to do. Love the show. Bye.
Yay, Dr. Mom. Thanks for shooting that video. That was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
She showed us up.
And it's kind of looks magical the way it's just kind of wedged in there and it just doesn't fall. I still think I would drop it.
I think I would build it like the DualShock if they really needed to, because that seems like a weird hold. And if Sony's going after grandmas, more power to them. Good luck with that.
They should. They should go after everyone like Nintendo did. Apparently that works for you.
Is that the same Dr. Mom that's in our chat room?
Yes, it is.
Yay, Dr. Mom.
The very same.
Now I have a face with a name.
I know. Yay. That's pretty cool.
It is.
Thanks, Dr. Mom. Also, tweet miking us from Australia is Demon. He went from a very interesting place.
Hey TNT crew, this is Demon from Melbourne in Australia. Something to add to your list of odd places that people are listening to TNT. I was in fact listening to the last podcast while I was voting in our federal election earlier this morning and walked out the door to hear your shout out about the Australian elections. So there's something for your list of odd places that people are listening to TNT while voting in a federal election. Thanks for the show, guys.
I don't know. Did we violate some sort of campaign law? Like,
that was awesome.
Yeah.
Was he like in the polling booth at that moment?
If he wasn't very hushed. He must have come outside or else
right,
he'd been like,
yeah, on
I'm
the streets.
Inside and... voting right now.
Deciding who to vote for.
Please.
Run down again. Yeah. Somebody wants fiber and someone doesn't.
I'm going to rewind that part. the Australian election happened. As we mentioned, one of the hot topics was whether they would get a national fiber network or not. Mm-hmm. And we got an email from Andy to TNT at twit.tv. Said, we had the federal election here over the weekend. For the first time in 70 years, there is no majority in the ruling lower house. The prime minister is negotiating with three independents to form a minority government. One of the key issues being the national broadband network. And a lot of folks think the national broadband network is now going to be put on hold. Mm-hmm. In fact, the NBN company in charge of putting it out has put it on hold for the time being until they figure out who's actually running things. But yeah, thanks, Andy, for the update on that.
Yeah, awesome. Mike from, he says, not in Philadelphia. He wants to make that clear right off the bat. This is in...
not necessarily sunny where he is.
Not always. This is in response to the idea that bloggers in Philadelphia may get taxed. He says, it seems that if you're a blogger in Philadelphia and you make any kind of money from it, you owe them $300 minimum. If I recall correctly, this is the same city that started taxing NFL players for the income they make when playing games there. So if the cheesesteaks don't stop your heart, the tax bill just might. Love the show.
Philly, man.
What if you make zero money from your blog because you don't run any ads and look for no other revenue and pay a hosting service?
Yeah, if you make zero money, I don't think it counts. But if you make a dollar, you owe $300.
Because I know from running ads on personal blogs over the years that it's really easy to make a lot less than $300.
A lot of the people listed in the articles I've read about this say like, yeah, I made $11 last year. Like, you know, what's the point? This is just a broke city trying everything they can to squeeze money out of a stone.
That doesn't sound very brotherly love from Philadelphia.
Yeah,
you know, that's a very good point. Where's the brotherly love?
Come on.
It's in the cheese.
All right, got an email from Rick. First of all, I am extremely upset with the Apple patent application as outlined here. And he has a link to CNET. According to the patent, Apple can record your heartbeat.
If they can do this.
Apple has the ability to record your voice and conversations around you. This is...
You keep freezing.
Oh. Am I back?
Yeah, you're back now. Go. This is all.
Okay. This is all because they want to break jailbroken devices. If I pay a minimum of $500 for a device and add an additional $200 for apps, all with Apple, and then jailbreak my device to spend $5 on an app they do not offer, what gives them the right to kill my device? This is monopolistic behavior in its most extreme form. It is like GM selling you a car, then blowing up the engine if you do not drive on approved streets. I really believe you need to look into this situation. Love the show, and Rick, I froze again.
Yes. Thanks, Rick. I appreciate you and the other folks who wrote in on this. I didn't pay any attention to this story because when I first saw it, I went and I read the patent application, and essentially what it does is it's like a Find My iPhone. It says you can notice an unauthorized user, and if it notices an unauthorized user based on your heartbeat, breathing pattern, all this stuff. And again, this is a patent application. This doesn't mean they actually know how to do this yet. They're just patenting the process. Then it would be able to limit the phone and delete sensitive data, right? It doesn't actually brick the phone. It limits it and deletes sensitive data. So this is all targeted towards being a security measure. Now, Could Apple misuse this to like fight against jailbreaking? Yes, absolutely. And that's what people are getting all freaked out about and reacting to. But the fact of the matter is, I like this. The idea that it could respond to my heartbeat, and if somebody else tried to use my phone, it would just shut itself down and delete all my sensitive data, is great. I would love that.
What if you were nervous and your rhythms changed? You want your phone deleted then?
I believe that the heartbeat, whether it's fast or slow, is still in such a it has a kind of a hash code, a hashtag that you can not a hashtag, but you can
an MD5.
You can detect whose it is. Like, it's like a fingerprint.
Pound alive.
So I mean, because basically all you're asking is, what if it didn't work? And yeah, if it didn't work very well, I wouldn't like it.
No, thing has to work splendidly.
Yeah.
Apple's not actually using this thing yet. I think everyone should kind of like just take a breath. And if and when they actually use this, let's get angry then. Right now, there's way more important things to get angry about because they're not even doing this yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's a patent filing anyway. But I think a lot of people are, you know, sure, there is the opportunity for misuse of this. But it's pretty clear from the patent that this is meant as a security device for you. Otherwise, why would it delete your sensitive data and not just brick the phone entirely or send a report off or whatever? So anyway, that's big thanks to Rick for giving us a chance to talk about that story. And you can send in your ideas for stories or any kind of comments you have to tnt@twit.tv. Ayaz, thanks for being on the show today.
Oh my God, he froze.
is he really frozen or is he just sulking?
I'm not sure. He's too upset.
Thank you guys
to speak.
And not thank Verizon Fios for this horrible connection.
Verizon Fios, huh?
Yeah,
I used to love them. Now I absolutely despise them because this is the only time I need this connection to be fast, and it's not. So Verizon Fios, I got two words for you. So
you know what's good for feelings like this?
Take it
to Twitter. Flood our streams. Just start complaining.
Yeah, or Google Buzz.
People love
hashtag.
go to Google Buzz, but don't expect anyone to pay any attention.
But it'll will come later. All of your complaints will post a few weeks later.
Here's what you do. Post to Google Buzz over the next month or so. Then complain about it, and then eventually all of the buzzes will flood to Twitter and upset everyone.
You're not using Wi-Fi, are you?
I'm using something called Gigabit Ethernet and all these fancy switches, and I know that sounds like overkill, but apparently it doesn't work. Yeah. So I need one of those virtual routers
Gigabit
we were talking about.
Gigabit Ethernet, whatever. You expected that to work?
Like, you know, if it's a 20 megabit
into a
connection,
fiber connection?
It should be able to be, like, I don't know, a wired connection to work. That's crazy.
All right, well, tell people where they can find your work on the internet.
I'm at mobiputing.com. I'm also at is.me. That's where I have all my podcasts. You can check out dinoshow.com, where we cleared up the whole Triceratops controversy that so many people got wrong. So go there and have fun.
All right, thanks. And for Sarah and Eric, I'm Tom Merritt. You can catch us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. Email us, tnt@twit.tv, or give us a call, 260-TNT-SHOW. We'll see you tomorrow. Jazz hands.